Welcome to the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, where we make retirement planning easy and enjoyable. Discover practical advice to create a retirement strategy that fits your lifestyle and budget. Get ready for market updates, intriguing finance headlines, book reviews, special guests, and inspiring case studies. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join us at the table as we talk about everything finance and retirement. We're here to support you in achieving the retirement of your dreams. Let's jump right in.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Nick. How are you?
Fantastic. What a beautiful day to be doing a podcast here in Michigan.
You better believe it. Sun is out. The frost is coming out of the ground.
Spring is going to be here.
Yeah.
Kind of here already. Summer.
Bless those farmers. It'll be light until 6 o'clock tonight.
Oh, we better stay away from the time change discussion. I'm going to get canceled.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
So we've got an interesting episode today. It's actually something that's come up for me quite frequently here in the last couple of months. And that is just kind of thinking through how to protect your credit in retirement and just kind of credit in general in retirement. It's one of those things that we don't really think of. Like, I feel like when you're 18, it's hammered into you when you, you know, when you get in line at the university to get your student ID, and then everybody goes to the next line to get their free money card, their credit card.
Yes.
And they think it's like, it's mandatory that you should get a credit card along with your student ID, apparently.
Well, in their defense, you usually do get a t-shirt.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's hammered into us a lot with in our youth and our younger days of having a good credit score, because then you can go out and you can get a mortgage, buy a house, do all these cool things with good credit. So it's, you know, kind of super important to think about and to know how to handle properly when you're young, but we don't really talk about it too much in terms of retirement, right? Like,
right.
There's no ongoing conversation of, hey, you know, hopefully, theoretically, you should be going into retirement with a pretty good credit score, right? Like, you definitely don't want a bunch of debt or things happening with your credit if you're going to retire. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, but, you know, we don't really talk about, do you need credit in retirement and, you know, how you should or could use credit in retirement, right?
It's particularly relevant. Like, we get a lot of these questions around identity theft and fraud, really, and how to protect your credit report, your credit score in those situations.
Yeah, well, I think that's it too, right? Because, you know, because you don't necessarily need credit in retirement per se, you're probably not paying as close attention to it as you might in your 20s or 30s, which means that, you know, you're probably, you know, more apt to have something fraudulently happen on your credit score because you might not be as attuned to it, right? Not to mention, you know, the whole diminishing capacity conversation of, you know, trying to scam people that are older and maybe aren't paying attention. And so I think that's really what it comes down to and why we've had a lot of conversations with clients around, you know, protecting credit and thinking about credit in retirement. So there's a couple different ways to do that. And depending on who you talk to or who's trying to sell you something, you know, there's obviously all of the identity theft, you know, credit monitoring software technology companies out there. And, you know, to varying degrees, some of those are useful and helpful. And in other cases, maybe not so much. And we won't, you know, today's discussion isn't revolved around going into the ins and outs of those. But one thing that has become more popular is what's called a credit freeze. So a credit freeze is a tool that you can use to help protect yourself against credit fraud. So when you go ahead and freeze your credit file, companies are then limited from pulling your credit, right? So if you put a credit freeze on your credit bureau, what happens when the bank goes to run your credit is they, you know, they can't do it essentially because it's frozen, right?
Yeah.
And so in order to allow them to do that, if you wanted to apply for credit, you would have to quote unquote, thaw out your credit report or unfreeze it so that they can run and then you can refreeze it, right? And I think it used to be they charge you like $10, but since then with all the identity theft stuff going on, they've changed that. So it's now free at all three credit bureaus. Do you know the three credit bureaus, Dave? We're going to quiz you today.
TransUnion, Experian. Yep. Did I get that right? Did I say it right? Yeah. Uh-huh. And Equifax.
Yeah. Hey. See, there you go.
Yeah. You're supposed to warn me before you're going to quiz me. That's not quite fair.
So credit freeze then, you know, lenders can't view your credit file, can't extend credit. And the benefit of that in terms of identity theft is what's happening or what can happen is if somebody steals your identity, if they have your social security number, things like that. Where they can go and get a credit card loan in your name or buy a car theoretically, right? Like they can do some things and then not make the payments, and that can have some serious consequences to your credit potentially.
Yeah, that's an important point. This doesn't prevent identity theft. You're just making it harder for someone that has stolen your identity to do anything with it or do you harm with it.
Right.
But it's an important way to prevent that harm.
It's helpful in terms of like putting that freeze on there, especially when in going back to and thinking about it in retirement. If you're not, you know, actively, if you know that you're not going to use credit, then it can definitely make sense for you to freeze, right? Like if you know that you're going to apply for a couple things this year, it's kind of might be a pain potentially. And so another way around that, instead of doing a full out freeze, is you can put a fraud alert on your credit report with the credit bureaus that just kind of alerts your lender to be a little bit more diligent in terms of like verifying your identity, making sure you are who you say you are, making sure they, you know, see you in person or whatever it is. All banks and financial institutions have some sort of like process when they see that fraud alert to make sure they do a little bit more due diligence. But they, you know, they can still pull your credit. They can still extend credit. It just kind of allows them to know that you might potentially be a victim of identity theft and to tread with caution, if you will.
Do you work for Michigan State University? Are you looking for solid retirement planning advice? Reach out to Dave and Nick, hosts of the Kitchen Table Finance podcast and certified financial advisors. They specialize in the unique benefit plans offered by MSU and how to capitalize on all you have available to you through your investments. Sure, you can glance at your package once a year and check some boxes, or you can make your money work for you. Find out if you're getting everything you could be with your MSU retirement plan by contacting Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners at srbadvisors.com or simply search for the Kitchen Table Finance Podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, hosted by Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners.
You know, I look at it this way. Very rarely are you going to decide you need to buy a boat or a car or something that requires credit on a spur of the moment. And if you're opening a store credit card or something like that, I guess, you know, some of those kind of decisions might be a little more spurious, but you probably don't need to be doing that anyway. So
I was just going to say it might benefit you to have a freeze so that they can't get you with the store credit card on your way out of Macy's.
You could say, you could just say to them, no thanks. I'd have to call my credit bureau first. And we don't have time for that right now.
So, I mean, that's the downside of a credit freeze, right? Obviously, is it can cause delays in terms of applying for a loan. It doesn't impact your credit score, which is nice. There's also something called a credit lock, which from all of my research basically works like a credit freeze, except for there's some added benefits like alerts when someone tries to access your credit. But that seems to be more along the lines of a paid service that may or may not be worth it depending on, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. And I think we talked about a little bit just in terms of, you know, are you going to need to utilize credit and how often, and is it a spur of the moment thing? Or, you know, yeah, obviously if you're going to the boat show, you might want to have that freeze on your credit. So you know, have some separation between being at the boat show, sitting in the boat, filling out the credit application versus going home and thinking this through.
Right.
So that might be an added benefit of some of the freeze, but you know, other than that, you know, if your personal information has been compromised, you definitely want to. And without going too into detail, I'm pretty sure everybody's information is compromised in some way, shape, or form. So,
if it hasn't, it will be. So, I would just proceed as though your information's out there.
And then the last one I put on here too is there's a lot of different ways to track credit activity. We talked a little bit about. We talked about, you know, the credit monitoring services that you can pay for. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, you know, I have a couple credit card accounts, couple bank accounts, and all of them are offering me some sort of free like credit monitoring where they pull information from the credit bureau and send me alerts if there's a change to my score, send me alerts if there's a new credit line that's been added. And so there's a lot of different ways to track credit activity. So that's another way, like if you didn't necessarily want to go through the freeze process, if you have some way to track that, you know, it's not foolproof, right? You're finding out after the fact if somebody fraudulently opens, but you're finding out like a couple days after as opposed to like 4 months later when you buy something and your credit is ruined because somebody took out a credit card and hasn't been paying the bill.
Right.
So some things to consider for sure. And then as far as next steps go, the process itself, Dave, is really pretty simple in terms of like how to get it done. There's three credit bureaus that we mentioned. And the unfortunate thing is you have to put a freeze on all three of them or every institution uses a different one and you don't really know unless you ask them. So you really have to freeze all three of them. The easiest way to do that is to create an account. So you can have a free online account at all three credit bureaus. And then you can go in once you've established the online account and set up the credit freeze. Obviously, the downside of that is now you've got three new more online accounts with more usernames and passwords. And you should definitely use different passwords for all three of those.
Of course.
And, you know, we've had some IT cybersecurity folks on before. We can probably link to that of like, you know, getting a password manager or something along those lines to help you with that is a definite plus. I just went through just to see how this whole process worked. I actually went through and set up an account at all three credit bureaus. And kind of just because even though I don't plan on freezing my credit right now, at least I have the ability to do that. It's all set up. I don't have to like go in and create accounts and do all this stuff. And it was pretty easy. The one thing that I will tell our listeners is, you know, be prepared. Once you give them your email address and stuff, they're going to start sending you emails and start soliciting you. So I guess be prepared for that. Once you do that, then you can go in and you can create that freeze. The other way to do it is by calling. All three of them will allow you to call and set a credit freeze. And there is a way for you actually to do it for your spouse as well if you can't get them to do it for themselves for whatever reason. You can do it for your spouse, but you can't do it for someone else other than your spouse. So let's see. Do we miss anything, Dave? Anything you want to add about credit?
I don't think so.
The one thing that
we live in.
Yeah. Sorry. The one thing I will say is, you know, you might get to retirement and I think we've talked about this before too, but you might get to retirement and you don't have a mortgage and you don't, you know, you have a credit card, a credit line, but you're paying it off. So you don't necessarily need a new credit line and you're not planning on buying a boat or putting things on credit. So you really don't have a use for credit in the traditional sense of I'm going to go out and buy something on credit, right? Which makes sense to do the freeze. But what I will tell you is the one thing that instead of like not using credit altogether, maintaining credit lines is important from the standpoint of, you know, your insurance score for auto insurance and home insurance is sometimes derived by that. And so, yes, you might not need new credit, but you should still maintain your good credit in retirement as well. And so think about how that plays into this.
Right, Right. And the records are going to be out there whether you're utilizing credit or not. So
hopefully that answers some questions around credit in retirement. You know, it's not the most exciting topic in the world, but we do get quite a few questions. And, you know, I think the big thing when this came a couple of years ago was it that I can't remember which one. I'm going to throw one of them under the bus. I think it was Equifax that got hacked into, and
yes,
you know, the credit bureaus themselves are subject to that, and you know, lost private information from people. And so it's just, you know, the world we live in, you got to be diligent about that stuff. And you know, and sometimes the peace of mind of just having the freeze and not having to necessarily worry about it or track your credit all the time is worth it for a lot of people. So
I'd say so. Yeah, I agree. All right.
Well, Dave, as always, it's been a pleasure.
It's been fun. Yeah, it's not everybody's favorite topic, but an important one nonetheless. So
somebody's got to talk about it, right?
There you go. Yep. All
right. Gather been a pleasure as and always. Follow the Kitchen Table Finance podcast to learn about money and simple ways you can invest right now. You can find more practical advice at srbadvisors.com and contact the team for personal planning by emailing info@srbadvisors.com.